closer I get to you. The more you make me smile.
Welcome back, my orchids. It is I, your gracious hostess with the mostest, Fluid Flower, and we are back with another episode of Fluid Thoughts. Okay, we're going to start with a quick check-in, and I'll go first. I am fucking fatigued. Bitch, I'm so over it. I have had so much anxiety about this episode and about life in general because I really don't have the energy to create. Like, I really don't. It's just so much happening all at once, and I am constantly overstimulated all of the fucking time. But as the governor of Yap Town and as a full-time professional jibber jabber gift for gab yapper, I be having shit to say. I be having shit to get off my chest. And that's normally why I start these episodes with an update about myself, because I know y'all be looking for me. I heard the bitches was looking for me. I know y'all be looking for me. It's just the current state of the world that we live in. It's just so exhausting. And I get anxiety and fear about creation and creating because I always feel rushed. Like there isn't any time because I'm at my fucking job all day. I be having dishes to do. Like, bitch, I need to do my motherfucking floors. I'm even my voice. I'm tired right fucking now, bitch. I'm tired of talking, but I gotta yap. Okay, I need to write these scripts, these materials, these books. And I low-key feel like I may have ADHD. So I am going to get a diagnosis from my doctor and then see if I can start treating it with therapy or something, because I need help. Also, I'm telling y'all right now, it's very difficult to create when you ain't got no damn groceries in your fridge. It's very difficult to create when you're worried about what your next meal is going to be. So please, support the podcast. Check the link in my bio. You can support the podcast with a monthly pledge. Cash at me. Because I'm telling you now, the way that people are truly, truly starting to shift their values and their dollars, we are the new creatives and artists that will replace celebs. And I'm going to get into that in this episode. We are the new filmmakers, the new authors. The world that is being built is much more about fostering connection and building community. So when it comes to content creation, we are the ones who will be replacing Hollywood. Entertainment for the people and by the people. So if you want to continue to hear these fluid thoughts, baby, buy me a cup of coffee on that Cash App if you can. Book a tarot reading. Buy the book once it's out this year. Ooh, I can't wait for y'all to read my damn book. Ooh, girl, I'm so excited. And I'm nervous, but I'm ready. But with that being said, baby, let's start the show. So I really wanted to continue the conversation of shifting our values because so much has happened since the last time I got up here and spoke. Like, I've come to a place in my life where I am desperate for community. Like, my soul is screaming for revolution. I remember in the first episode of this year where I talk about not being able to participate in society because everything about America is about consumption. And I just don't know how consuming is supposed to sustain me. Literally, nothing excites me. I don't want to watch movies, TV shows. I don't want to go no motherfucking where. Bitch, I don't even want to go to work and I work from home. Girl. Speaking of work, I don't know how much longer I can keep up this mask, this facade at my job. I don't know how much longer I can shuck and jive and be suffering and smiling with these hoes who actually care about moving up the corporate ladder. And for me, that part is the most exhausting, the constant masking and pretending like I give a fuck. And it's so hard to care because these pointless jobs offer no benefit to society. They take up all your time and pay you so little. Bitch, I paid my fucking rent and I had exactly $39 left in my checking account. What the fuck am I supposed to do with $39 until May 15th? And these jobs expect me to work until I'm 75? They've lost their fucking minds. Do these heffalups not understand that the majority of workers are asking themselves, how am I going to eat? Always worrying about if the roof over your head will be snatched away. We are tired. I am mentally exhausted and I am tired of having to figure shit out. I am tired of having to use my brain to figure out how to not starve under capitalism. This is where I'm at. We have been pushed past the point of exhaustion. That's why I started this episode by basically saying the episode's gonna come when they come. Bitch, I know my ass be late. I know I do not be delivering the episodes on time, honey, but I promise you, I'm just trying to make it to the next day. If I do two a month or one a month, just know they're on the way, okay? Put them notifications on, girl, and follow me at Fluid Thoughts Pod on IG. But again, I wouldn't be this damn tired if I had community. If we were in mutual communal partnership, we wouldn't be this damn tired of trying to figure it all out on our own. And in order to get that community, we got to get rid of capitalism. We got to uproot that capitalism from our brains. Because here is my first question. And this is for the cis hetero community. Come on up. Don't be shy. I don't bite. Not hard anyway. But I did want to ask the question to the parasites in your brain. If they are tired, since there are no more thoughts or brain matter for them to munch on. Because the way in which I've been watching people, the men folk and the pick Mishas, have visceral reactions to the hypothetical and at this point proverbial bear, in which the question is posed that if you, a woman, were trapped in the forest with a bear or a man, which one would you choose? So in order for us to have this conversation, I need straight people and those who uphold patriarchy to put on their thinking caps and their listening ears and be so fucking for real. The reason people are choosing hypothetical bears is because we have experienced the firsthand violence of men conditioned under white male patriarchy. A bear would not put his micro penis on me in the workplace. Go back and see my last episode. A bear would not follow me to my car or roofie my drink because he's just a nice guy who strikes out sometimes at the club. Myself and other women could give you endless examples, but my other question is, how do y'all straight men and women who uphold patriarchy, how do y'all lack that much self-awareness? How do you sit there and listen to the stories of women, trigger warning, sexual assault and violence? How do you sit there and listen to the stories of women who were raped and brutalized and beaten, stalked and harassed and even doxxed by men who felt entitled to their body and say out loud and even go as far as to record yourself in a TikTok response and say, yeah, I know men are violent and complicit in the violence against women because the majority of us don't do anything to stop it. And I most likely don't even see you as a human being. But yeah, you still got to choose a man. Bitch, are you smoking elephant pussy and giraffe dick? Are you snorting monkey shit and injecting the remnants into your veins? I think one of the reasons people are having such visceral reactions to this fake scenario is because y'all's identities are deeply rooted in capitalism, white supremacy, by ways of the nuclear family. A ton of you think the nuclear family is a biological default as opposed to a social construct created by capitalism. I think if y'all stopped moving your mouth, if you stop all this yapa mouth moving like a rat and even had the slightest critique of capitalism, you wouldn't even be wasting your time around these conversations. You would already know that the behavior of human beings is not defaulted to evil. Our behavior is conditioned by the society we create. I'm not saying anything new, at least not to the ones who already know, but every day y'all get on these social media apps and put energy towards things that don't really matter. I'm not saying the conversation isn't worth having, but that would be in the context, if we're actually having that conversation, that would be in the context of everybody, regardless of gender and sexuality, but specifically cisgendered straight men talking about how to uproot the patriarchy and dismantle that from their minds. Because the patriarchy kills men too. Y'all don't wash your ass or have good hygiene because y'all think having good hygiene makes you effeminate or emasculates you. Y'all don't get to know the other men around you because intimacy outside of sex is seen as negative under patriarchy. Y'all will be friends with serial killers and serial rapists as long as he continues to bring you that second controller so y'all can play FIFA. You will sit on the same couch and listen to this man make jokes about roofing drinks or slipping women mollies to assault them, and you will never ever check this man. You as a man follow other grown men on the internet who make jokes about assaulting little girls or quote catching cases because you too think it's normal to have attraction to teenagers. Those are the so-called friends that they have. Because of white supremacist patriarchy, y'all think an appropriate response to Western women doing the 4B movement is shitty Bumble ads that shame women for being celibate or threatening women with violence. But those aren't the conversations we're having. We're still talking about whose plate do you fix first, your man or your dad, who sits in the front seat, your wife or your mom, who's a high value, who's this, you bitches. Why are you still placing human beings in hierarchies, even in your fantasies? You niggas aren't even free, even in your fucking minds. Does that not scare you? that even in your wildest dreams, you're still imagining yourself tied to white male patriarchy. Y'all are hustling backwards. Do you not have any shame? Are you that mentally enslaved and intellectually subservient and ideologically molested? What is it, the braids? Speaking of braids, Jaqu Lee, I don't know how to say this man's name, or Jack Lee, is J-A-Q-Lee. Mr. Lee let his female students take his braids down. And I'm going to keep it very fucking brief on this because I've heard so many think pieces, most of them incorrect. A lot of y'all don't understand proper boundaries, and I'm going to reach out and touch your hand when I say this. Under no circumstance should a grown man be asking a child for favors whatsoever. I'm going to repeat myself just so you can hear me. Under no circumstance should a grown man be asking a child for any favors whatsoever. Period. Point blank. Full stop. What people are failing to comprehend is a few things. Number one, this is a common tactic that predators use, using non-sexual intimacy and touch to build relationships and gain the trust of children. This is how it always starts, and I need people to stop being daft and open their eyes. How did y'all watch Quiet on Set and listen to those people recount their tales of how adults harmed them, abused them, and now some of y'all see this video and all of a sudden this type of interaction is okay? It's not okay. Because of the discourse on social media, TikTok actually pushed his live to my FYP before I blocked him, obviously. They pushed his live to my FYP, and this man was bragging, literally being a braggart about how, quote, the haters gonna hate, and y'all always talk about how there's no black male teachers or black male positive influence, and I got a pension and a salary, and I'm already making money right out of college, end quote. Sir, if you are making all this money, why didn't you just take your money and use it at your appointment for the braider to take the hair down, Mr. Moneybags, since you got your degree and your pension and you know every motherfucking thing? Drake Bell talked about how the man who abused him used to take him to Disneyland with other 40-year-old men. And when his father complained about Brian Peck's behavior and the physical touch with his son not being natural, then people looked at that man and said, oh, you're just being homophobic. Are you bitches this dense? Do you think because you have a marginalized identity that you can't be a predator? So Mr. Braids claimed that there's no black male teachers, no black male positive influence in the school, that this somehow excuses his inappropriate behavior. Predators will always position themselves in a way that makes them not look like predators. I know people use and misuse the term gaslighting a lot, but is that not the very essence of it in a colloquial sense? We can all see that the behavior is strange, but these predators hide behind politeness, marginalized identities. They make all kinds of excuses for why we should be okay with their strange behavior. And if I recall correctly, in the same live, he even doubled down on his behavior by saying, I'm trying to set a good example for my female students so that they can know what kind of partner they should choose later on in life. Are you fucking crazy? Why is that your concern? We have seen countless video after video on social media about how children can't read, schools are underfunded, parents aren't reinforcing what's being taught at the school, and the parents themselves sometimes can't even read. And you mean to tell me you want to be a good role model to these young girls so they can know what to choose in a partner? Ladies and non-binary babes, that is grooming. He is literally trying to train these girls up in what he sees to be a good partner. Then he really played in y'all faces trying to use words like, we're building community, we're doing culturally responsive activities so we can bond with the kids and take care of the community. Let me tell you something. I taught middle school and high school. Never in my life did I let them children play in my damn hair. I didn't let them come behind my fucking desk. I didn't tell them anything about my private life. Kids would ask me all the time, Miss E, you got a boyfriend? And I would quickly respond, that ain't none of your business. Sit down and read your book. Miss E, you got kids? That ain't none of your business. Sit down and read your book. Never ever was it on my mind to teach any of my students what they should be looking for in a man or a woman. My students didn't even know how old I was. Bitch, boundaries. Anybody who has no critique of capitalism has no right to talk about building community. We as educators don't know what these kids are going through at home, especially when you work with kids who are living in precarity. Therefore, you are ethically, quite literally bound by a code of conduct and ethics to support your students by showcasing proper boundaries, full stop. And what also pisses me off is when straight people are up in arms and protesting queer people. The line is always, I don't have a problem with you being gay. I just don't think you should be gay in front of kids. We don't trust you queers grooming our children. We don't want you around. You're gross. This man is asking little girls for favors with the purposeful intention of modeling himself as an ideal partner. Now, that is not to say that gay people cannot be predators, as predation cannot be assigned to one specific gender or orientation. But in essence, I am saying that predators come in all shades and sexual orientations, and straight people often overlook grooming when it's coming from another straight person, which goes back to what I said about a lot of y'all who subscribe to cis heteronormatives think that the nuclear family is a biological phenomena rather than a social construct. The people who agreed with this teacher are now backtracking all over social media because they have found videos on his page about him making jokes about being attracted to young girls. There's a video on his page of a young girl painting his nails. There are two videos on his page where he allows a young male student to ask him a question where the question is, would you rather talk to a girl with a nice face or with a big butt? This is not appropriate. But cishets as a whole rarely say anything about this behavior because y'all be so busy trying to beat the gay out of your child. Folks be so busy telling young girls to cover up in the house and that they're fast instead of teaching men not to look at little girls. I remember when I was a missionary, I was 17 when I took my first missions trip, and we would do our service. It could be anything from building a house, physical labor, any sort of physical labor that assisted the indigenous people we were colonizing. Because yeah, that's all a missions trip is. They're just religious colonialism trips. And I recall on my Panama trip, where I lived in the Darien jungle in the San Blas Islands for about a month, the co-lead, the male co-lead who was a youth pastor from bumfuck backwoods cousin fucker white America, he would deliver sermons to us after our outreach ministry. He gave a sermon about sex and relationships and started the sermon by saying, girls, you should really be looking for a husband who's about 7 to 10 years older than you. If you're 18, the youngest your boyfriend should be 25. The grooming starts in the church. So imagine 17, 18-year-old Effie who just wants to be a good Christian and honor God and is incredibly impressionable and also a perpetual people pleaser, pipe down Paul and eat your pudding. Every time I say words with peas, I always remember that show. But imagine that little girl hearing that and how it shapes her mind. I went on to believe that if I got married, my husband would be older than me because people in my life would tell me, oh, older men are more financially secure and you want a man who can provide. Groomer. Oh, well, men don't really mature until they're 40. So if you want a mature person, you got to date older men. Groomer. How much more evidence do y'all need to finally understand that grooming young girls is an unfortunate part of white settler colonial project known as America? Y'all seen them TikTok videos of people telling the stories of how their grandparents met? Oh, I was 6 years old and this man picked me up from school and said I was going to be his wife. Oh, my grandma said that my granddad would just follow her around, and when she got off her school bus, predation. This shit is sick. And before a motherfucker open their mouth and be like, it was a different time. I don't give one iota of a fuck. This entire nation was built on genocide and slavery. And a lot of these grooming practices come out of that. We should not be basing whether something is okay or not just because people from back in the day used to do it. His behavior was inappropriate, full stop. Also, he put those children at risk. He's doing live streams. He's not blurring their faces. The school crest is clearly visible. And he put those videos on TikTok, an app where we know predators are lurking. We all know about the moms who showcase their toddlers in skimpy outfits. And those moms are aware, very aware of the type of people who download their content, who interact with their videos. The more interactions, the more money in the creator fund. And they get more interactions by literally pimping out their children. The only difference between this teacher, Jack Lee, between him and those vanilla almond moms is that the kids he's exploiting aren't his. Kids are not your content. Classrooms are for learning, not for making content. We have to shift our values. This man was motivated by money. He didn't care enough to blur out those kids' faces because he was worried about them TikTok checks, worried about that creator fund. Enough. Well, who was that rapper who said, "Ooh wee, what money make a bitch do? I cannot stand y'all sometimes. Dare I say, I might hate some of you bitches. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress." Speaking of beef, Abresha Ebonia Graham was laid to rest Sunday, May the 5th, 2024 at her homegoing service that was held at the Beulah Goliath Ebenezer Mountain of Fire Missionary Baptist Church off Crenshaw, as the city of Toronto demanded that the body be shown in the state where she was slain. Now, before you ask who did the body and who cooked the mac and cheese, I want to talk about a few things, okay? I want to talk about a few things that I found disturbing. Rap beef can get real crazy real fast. I get that the aim is to silence your opponent by means of using lyrical mastery of the written and spoken word. But when it comes to the protection of children and allegations of sexual assault, you might need to alert the authorities, because it's looking like Kendrick wasn't exaggerating or lying. So either Drake is moving slow on that defamation lawsuit, or he knows he's cooked. And at this point, my question is, when are we truly going to cancel predators in the entertainment industry? And I'm not talking about some hashtags on social media, because we're going to get into hashtag blockout 2024. I'm talking about real physical excommunication from the community. Dare I say the planet? Because at this point, the predation is beyond systemic. Y'all are using fame to hunt vulnerable people, using clout and position of power to silence folks so that you can continue your predatory behavior. And don't y'all find it weird how all these weird, creepy predator men find each other and stick together and defend one another? That meat riding is a whole nother level of crazy. Like, this shit is crazy to me. Imagine being a grown man and living your life for the approval of other men. Couldn't be me. Because, bitch, I barely be living for the approval of God. Okay? God be looking at me sometimes like, bitch, what are you doing? Go take care of yourself. But at the end of the day, who really benefited from this beef other than celebrities, Apple Music, Spotify, and Universal Music Group and capitalism? Yes, Kendrick is a musical genius. He's probably just an actual genius who uses the art form of music for self-expression and can probably also do other artistic expressions as well. But all that genius has showed me that he's smart enough to comprehend world events. So my question to Mr. Duckworth is, where's your support for Congo, Sudan, and Palestine? For 72 hours, the Western world was listening. The amount of reach these celebrities have is incredible. Even seasoned revolutionaries were tuned in. I felt bad at one point for even giving it my attention. And that's not to say that I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But if everything we understand about celebrity, as in celebs being the velvet glove on top of the iron fist that crushes rebellion, incarcerates people, and strings us along with the false hopes of that you too one day can be just like them, which is nothing more than highly paid wage slaves in perpetual servitude to capitalism. But hey, at least you're a celebrity. You won't have to worry about if you can afford food, water, shelter, medication, or other basic necessities a human being needs to live, because your platform will be used by the ruling class to constantly quell any revolutionary ideas and provide coverage for death and empire. Yay! At any fucking point, these people, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, whoever the fuck, could have literally tweeted or posted about DRC, about Sudan. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hear no shit about, oh, they do stuff behind the scenes. Oh, you never know what people are doing when no one is watching. That is a fucking lie, and y'all know it. The only reason people say that, and as a matter of fact, it's not even the celebrities themselves who claim that they're doing stuff behind the scenes. The claim that these celebs are doing philanthropic work behind the scenes is just a reinforced lie to get people to not critique them. It's a silencing tactic. And let's make it clear, Congo, Sudan, and Palestine are not philanthropic events. These are genocides. They don't go to the Met Gala behind the scenes. They go in full face, out and loud, proud, flaunting their wealth and exclusivity. They don't do that shit behind the scenes. So why do your assumed good works and compassion have to be behind the scenes? Why is it that you can't use your huge platform to talk about genocide? Multiple ongoing genocides and atrocities are happening every single day. And as we're living in the age of the most documented genocide in history, I haven't heard him say anything. I haven't heard Kendrick say shit. Sudan has a communications blackout. The RSF is burning villages, using mass rape as a weapon of war, and murdering children, while all of this is being funded by the UAE. We need people to speak up. Capitalism and genocide depends on your silence. It depends on your ignorance. It depends on your isolation from the masses. And if one of the biggest rappers in the world, who was in an ongoing exchange with another major rapper, couldn't even be bothered to speak up for the DRC and Sudan, two black African countries, then can we actually call Kendrick Lamar a conscious rapper? How is he any different from Beyonce, who also co-opts black radical revolutionary aesthetics, but remains silent about our deaths? It took a mediocre white rapper, who he himself admitted that Kendrick Lamar is the far better rapper and Kendrick deserved the Grammy over him back in 2014, to bring attention to the Palestinian genocide in the midst of a rap beef. You've been out-conscioused, in my opinion. And to be fair, I don't sit around measuring people's level of consciousness, but if consciousness is the aesthetic that you're going for, your silence has proved that the consciousness you claim to have is all talk. It's all bark and no bite. So yeah, thanks for showcasing your lyrical talent. Thank you for giving my echolalia something to scream around my apartment for the last few weeks. But I am done with celebs using consciousness as an aesthetic and then remaining silent in our genocides. Either speak up or stop using black revolutionary ideas as aesthetics. Because do you know what rappers have been talking about Palestine for the longest? Method Man, Yasiin Bey, Lupe Fiasco. They have been able to maintain their artistry and still speak up for people who are being genocided. You can absolutely keep your integrity and be an artist. Y'all just don't want to. I'm also of the firm belief that as consumers, we use these artists as a form of escapism. But if their art isn't reflecting the times and the social climate, then it's no longer art. It's just commodity. Commodity that will be used to fuel the bloodlust of capitalism. Give them bread and circuses and they will never revolt. Because I can see the vision. I see what y'all are attempting to do with the hashtag Blockout 2024. Initially, I was really proud of people for having the understanding that we don't have to pay attention to celebrities. We don't have to pay attention to their Instagram, watch their movies, give them clicks and likes. We don't even have to hate watch or leave hateful comments. People have talked about this before. We are in an attention economy. When you hate watch or comment, it is still engagement. So if you want to take away their relevance, stop paying attention to these bitches. It could be a rage baiting content creator on TikTok or a super mega celebrity pushing their hair care and skincare products. Don't buy their shit. Don't follow them on socials. Block them on socials. Block their business accounts. Don't buy their tickets. Leave them in the dust. I am a firm believer that when we as Westerners living in the imperial core, we have been conditioned to consume to the point where we don't actually know who we are without consumption. We don't know who we are without the manufactured insecurities that get us to feel bad enough about ourselves so that we're constantly buying the latest and greatest. So if this hashtag Blockout 2024 is going to be successful, we all have to reorient our brains. This is going to take a major deconstruction of what we understand as life under capitalism. It's going to take us building community. The student encampments at these universities are actually a really great example of that. These college students are not only exercising their right to free speech, but they set up food stations, first aid and medical tents, and even scheduled classes to teach people in the community and each other what is happening in Palestine, Congo, and Sudan. Baby, the shift is here. The age of Aquarius is just beginning. People are desperate for something that is real, and that real thing is connection and community. These celebrities do not give a fuck about you. Do you think Beyonce cared that I survived, that I had to survive on rice and beans after I paid $700, $700 that I didn't fucking have for a Renaissance World Tour ticket? No, because her and her husband are flying around in their private jets, polluting the earth while making money off of us. We fund their lifestyles, so stop funding it. What we should be funding is independent artists like Fluid Flower and her Fluid Thoughts podcast. Yes, a shameless plug, I know. But even in that, I only ask for support because the current economic system commodifies basic necessities. Trust me when I say I would not be digitally panhandling over the airwaves if water, housing, medicine, and food were provided to everyone on Earth. But the essential thing we should take away from this hashtag blockout 2024 is that we do fund these celebrities' lifestyles. We vote and participate with our dollars every day. So if we organize ourselves and build alternative systems from how we grow our food to who entertains us, then more and more people will want to leave the system and challenge the status quo. It is us who creates the cultural shift. It is us who even creates the validation of these people. Your word as a person means something. We are the ones who set the standard. So if you want to see different people who are intelligent and informed and actually talented, we have to be the ones to support those people. If we want news that's not going to lie to us and tell us the truth, we have to be the ones to support independent news that is verifiable and also decolonial. You don't need to consume celebrity content. When we talk about boycotting, some boycotts are a bit easier than others. When a person is living in food apartheid and McDonald's and Wendy's and the 99-cent store is the only food available in their area, I personally understand if they can't boycott McDonald's or fast food. Food apartheid is a structural component to genocide, as people are forced to eat food that destroys you at the molecular level. McDonald's and Wendy's might be the only thing they have available. But guess what? No one is forcing you to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. No one is forcing you to buy Beyonce's hair care products. No one is forcing you to follow celebs on social media. This is a boycott that many of us can participate in. The question is, do you care enough or do you care at all? And for the NPCs who keep saying, it'll never work, why even bother? You sound like a bitch who don't know her motherfucking history. So therefore, I need you to go look up boycotts of South Africa and how that shaped the dismantling of their apartheid regime. South Africa became a social pariah where it was too expensive for them to continue the apartheid because nobody would do business with them. And lo and behold, as soon as bitches started talking about blocking celebs, here go Lizzo, Melissa Lizzo, Lizard Jefferson, immediately posting GoFundMes about families in Gaza. Less than 24 hours, she's donating thousands of dollars to families in Sudan and Congo because y'all fucked with her metrics and her data. You fucked with her algorithm money. And that bitch need all the money she can get because she busy paying out settlements from when she was allegedly sticking bananas in people's asses. She need all the money she can get. Because they know the moment they become irrelevant, the moment we stop talking about them, their cash flow is over. Why do you think you keep seeing these washed up celebs support a genocidal state? These bitches are broke. They need checks. Tiffany Haddish was fighting child abuse allegations in 2022. Of course, her unfunny ass would give an unfunny comedy set about the encampments. She probably agreed to an entertainment contract to do PR for Israel. So listen, miss me with that bullshit. Okay. Also, if you have to hire people to convince the world that you're not doing a genocide, even when we can see the genocide for ourselves, you probably doing a genocide, broski. Wrap that shit up, bitch. We're over it. The fuck? But yeah, fuck celebrities, bro. Like, we have vegetables to grow and water to clean. Fuck them. Beyonce recreated a dance made by Drea Kelly, R. Kelly's fucking ex-wife, to her song. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Two Hands to Heaven? Hands Heaven? I don't fucking know. Cause she got all them Roman numerals and shit in there for Act Two. So on her burner account, where she watches her fans, she knows the trends about her and she knows what people are doing on social media, which to me says that she knows that people have been asking her to use her platform to speak and she chooses not to. All I'm predicting is this: when the scale of coolness and popularity eventually tips towards socialism, do not help these people rebrand themselves. When they try to pretend that they've always stood against poverty and genocide and we stand against police brutality and we stand against forced sterilization, do not let them forget what they were doing when we asked them to speak up, ignoring our death and pain. Child, I got to get the fuck up out of here because I'm tired of shit. I was going to read Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, but to be fair and to be honest, I don't have time for closeted men who hate women. Women are so much more than their ability to produce children. Y'all can attempt to reinforce whatever Christian dogma you want, but patriarchy has already lost. Fuck you, Harrison. Or what's your name? Harrison, but fuck you. Hope your wife divorces you. Please drink bleach. Have a terrible life. Bye.